Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.045 The Zone and 9:17. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Time for one of our favorite spots every week is when we visit with the Hall of Famer. Jason Stark from The Athletic and the MLB Network is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Jason, what's going on this morning?
All is well, man. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're fine. Watching it rain here in Nashville.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah. Matt Carpenter bunts for a double against the shift. What does it all mean, Jason?
You know what? I'm really shocked that we don't see more of this. For probably 5 years, I've been hearing people in baseball tell me the bunt is the most underutilized weapon against the shift in baseball. And especially against that shift last night, if you saw the play, there was nobody on the left side right at all. And, you know, Matt Carpenter is a bright guy. He can notice these things, and he did. Here's how somebody explained it to me one time. If you try to bunt for a hit, and you even succeed half the time, that's 1,000 OPS, right? It's a 500 on base percentage, and it's a 500 slugging percentage. And when you put it that way, it really makes you realize what is possible if you bunt. The other part of it, too, is if you're the hitter and you stand at home plate and you look at all those fielders on one side of the field, what's the way to get them to stop standing there? Hit the ball somewhere else.
Hit it the other way.
Matt Carpenter did.
But do you think it's almost the game where the team in the field says, you know what, they're paying this guy a lot of money to hit home runs. He's not going to put down a bunt more often than not, and we're just going to take our chances on that.
Back when Barry Bonds thought he invented the shift, his big thing was, if you do something like that, they win. They've got you. And Barry used to tell everybody that. And I really felt like that permeated the psyche of hitters across the sport for a long time. But to me, the landscape should be shifting. You know, this is not some macho thing. There are times when you shouldn't do that. But there are times when it makes total sense, when you're trying to get on base, when it's early in a game, when there's nobody out, right? There's a lot of occasions when a bunt makes way more sense than hitting another ball into the shift.
That Braves-Phillies game Friday night had to be one of the best games of the season. You hate to put too much on one game in June, but how much of a statement do you think that was in terms of the East race?
It was a great game, and I actually thought the whole series was a statement on the East. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know here, but since the Braves moved Acuna and Swanson to the top of the order, they're 25-11. They've outscored the Phillies by almost 60 runs.
Jeez.
They've picked up 6.5 games in the race, and I don't know what the argument is that the Phillies are better. I was at MLB Network on Friday. We were about to preview that series, and this was the question that I posed to everybody before the show. We started the season, we thought the Phillies had the best lineup in the National League. Does anybody think they have a better lineup than the Braves? Went around the room, and nobody did. The only position on the field where the Braves don't have a higher OPS than the Phillies is catcher, with JT Realmuto. And Brian McCann's pushing that one, right? So if the Braves fix the bullpen, or at least address the bullpen, I can't think of a single area where the Phillies are better. I don't know if people would have said that a month ago.
Visiting with Jason Stark of the MLB Network and The Athletic.
Well, speaking of Braves there, Jason, do you think they're going to win the division?
I do. I thought that for a while now. They just said, man, they've got the better offense. I think they've got higher upside starting pitching, although they've had some inconsistency there, but Dallas Keuchel's about to ride the rescue. And if they just get a ba- back of the bullpen arm, which I am confident they will, and push everybody else back a slot, I like the way their pen lines up. And I think that Craig Kimbrell was a better fit for them than Keuchel, but he was obviously a more expensive fit. Let's see who they get, and then let's revisit how far we think the Braves can go.
Well, speaking of pitching, then any other trades you think are on the horizon that potentially pop here in the next week?
I don't think there's a big pitching trade coming. You know, I made some calls yesterday on this, and right now, impact pitching is overpriced. We heard all these forecasts that the trade market was going to start early. Only Jerry DePoto in Seattle got that memo. And, you know, like the Madison Bumgarners of the world, the price tag is, blow us away, we'll trade them now. And that's just not a language that a lot of general managers speak. You know, this is not a time of desperation for many front offices. And so I think that as much as we talked about June being a big month for trades, it's going to be just like it always was. It's going to be July.
I saw the trade of Edwin Encarnacion, I guess. What did you think about that trade? I mean, he led the AL in home runs, didn't he?
How about that? And I can't say that I saw that coming, but what a lineup the Yankees have. You know, I was going through it after the trade. They've got Encarnacion, who hits 40 every year. They have Stanton, who hit 59 once. They have Judge, who hit 52 once. They have Gary Sanchez, who hit 33. And Aaron Hicks, who hit 27. And Didi, who hit 27. And Glaber, who hit 24 in his rookie season. And he's going to hit 30. And Luke Voit has been a Yankee for like 100 games, and he's hit over 30. That's 8 30 home run bats in one lineup. That's terrifying.
Our guest is Jason Stark from the MLB Network and The Athletic. I love the Vin Scully quote about Coors Field. What do you make of that record-setting Rockies-Padres series? I saw them combined to score 92 runs. Goodness sakes.
Yeah, just to tell you the story about that, you know, the Dodgers and Rockies early on in Coors history had a series a lot like what the Rockies and Padres just went through. And I actually called Vin, and I said, Vin, how would you describe a weekend at Coors Field like that? And he said, you don't need an official scorer at Coors Field. You need a certified public account.
And how?
That's about right. 92 runs in one series. 92. At the time, the Tigers and Royals had combined to score 90 the whole month. Amazing, right? The Padres have played more than 7,500 games in the history of their franchise. And in the history of their team, that's a half a century. They played three games where they gave up 12 runs and won. And then they played two in one weekend. That is Coors at its finest.
That's one of those parks that you almost have to go there and experience it to really understand it. Because, I mean, the field is gigantic. The weather conditions, you can see, I joked, we saw all four seasons in seven innings one game we were out there. I mean, it really is an interesting and different place, isn't it, to see a game?
I really love the place. I really do. It's beautiful. The vistas are beautiful. The park is beautiful. It's a big yard, and it's impossible to cover all the ground in that outfield. That makes a lot of things possible. I think my question the other day was the humidor broke?
They had a power outage with the humidor.
Right.
Jason Stark is our guest from the ML Meat Network and The Athletic, joining us here on the Wake Up Zone.
Yeah, we were sitting here talking about Joe Mauer, retiring after the season, and just wondering what you thought on his Hall of Fame chances.
You know, I think Joe Mauer is a Hall of Famer, and not everybody agrees with me. I had a lot of arguments about that last year. Here's why. He had 10 seasons as a catcher, won three batting titles, and was clearly on a path to being one of the great offensive catchers in history. But then he has all the concussions. He finished his career at first base. He obviously didn't have first baseman-type Hall of Fame credentials, but I use the analogy of Ernie Banks. Right? Ernie Banks divided his career between shortstop and first base. He was a Hall of Fame shortstop. He was not a Hall of Fame first baseman. But we judged him as a shortstop, and he got elected. If you judge Joe Mauer in the context of catchers, that's a Hall of Fame player. Now, I don't know if everybody will do that, but that's how I would judge him.
One more quickly, it's kind of on the same vein. I enjoy some of Dale Murphy's contributions on social media. I read some of that stuff. A lot of people pull for him to get into the Hall of Fame. Jason, I sometimes think he's a rare player who's actually better than how we remembered him.
You know, I voted for Dale Murphy when he was on the ballot. I actually was a member of the Modern Era Committee 2 years ago when his name came up. And so, you know, I've argued the case for him a lot. The case for is, it's kind of a Sandy Koufax type argument. You know, he had a Hall of Fame peak. He had 8 years where he was clearly in the best player in baseball debate. And the other thing I always like to remind people is we use that character and integrity clause to deduct points, right, from a lot of players, mm-hmm. especially from the PED era. Don't you add it? You should add points for somebody like Dale Murphy. That's the case for. The problem is then his career just kind of fell off a cliff after age 31. He only hit .234. He slugged under .400 after age 31. And so we have a lot of tools now that would say the totality of his career was not quite Hall of Fame worthy, but 8 years where we thought this guy might be the best player in baseball, that's personally enough for me.
Yeah, at his best, he was really, really good. Jason, thanks so much for the time this morning. We always enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoyed it, guys. Thanks.
Okay, we'll see you later. That's Jason Stark from the MLB Network, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today.